My name is Marlon Fannin, and this is my story. In opening, I would like to thank all of those who sent cards and phone calls that we received, and for all the prayers that were said for me and my wife during my open heart surgery procedure. As a lot of you know, on June the 12th, I had to have open heart surgery, which came as a shock to me, my wife, to a lot of the brethren and family, and friends who know me, because usually people thought I'm pretty healthy, and I tried to take care of my health, and I thought I was healthy. But I'm diabetic, and I have been for about 20 years. Many of you out there would hear this. I'm sure you're battling with that problem too. So, and about 17 years, I've been taking oral medicine for this. Well, diabetes runs in my family. Out of seven children, six of us were diabetic. And most of us, it was later on in life that we got this. Now, some say it's genetic, that comes down through the genes, and certainly on my grandmother's side, on my dad's side, she died with diabetes in her 60s. So, some say, well, it's a lifestyle. Some say it's eating habits that are passed down through your families as you grow up. In other words, however your parents have eaten, that's how that you eat, you have a tendency to come down with diabetes. Well, there could be a lot of truth in that, and that you do need to, it does have a big effect on your diabetes of what you eat, but I think a lot of it is genetic, because my wife and I were taking a walk just recently in a neighborhood, and we saw this other neighbor. He was jogging. Now, he's a fairly young fellow in his 30s, and his head is bald. And I told my wife, I said, well, his dad, who passed away with cancer about a year ago, he was bald as well. He looked just exactly like his dad. And I said, so much for genetics. I mean, for saying it's not genetics, because his dad, he looked just like his dad, and his dad had lost all of his hair and had been bald for many years. So it was suggested to me from someone that I do a message about my situation because it may be helpful to others in the church. I'd like to say that, just starting out saying that I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse, I'm not involved as any form or any way as a health practitioner. I'm just going to go over some of my experience with diabetes over the last 20 years, personal experiences, and also from what I've read and still reading, and what some of the doctors and other professionals say about this. Well, I had to have a quadruple bypass surgery as a result of my diabetes. Now, my surgeon told me that it was a result of my diabetes that I had the bypasses, the clogged arteries. One was 99%, two I think were 80, and one was about 75. And my family physician just recently this week told me that he explained a little bit more. He said, well, it is cholesterol, but the diabetes, the sugar that's in the blood, causes the formation then of the cholesterol, because my cholesterol was always very good. And also my blood pressure was always good, my triglycerides were good, and just this week I had a physical, and we had drawn blood the week before. Again, my blood pressure was good, my triglycerides were good, and the cholesterol was good. And I guess everyone has cholesterol to some degree, because the night before the surgery, one of the nurses there, a male nurse, he was going to give me a pill. And I said, well, what's this for? And he said, well, it's for cholesterol. And I said, well, I don't have cholesterol. And he said, well, everybody has cholesterol. And then this other female nurse spoke up, and she said, no, he doesn't need that pill, because I got his chart here and all the blood work we've done, his cholesterol is good. So it was a result of the diabetes, and it said combined with cholesterol causing it to stick in the arteries that caused this. So every time I went for my A1C test, which a lot of you with diabetes are familiar with, which is done every 3 to 6 months, as I mentioned, my blood pressure and cholesterol and all those were very good. Now, what is an A1C test? The A1C test is where they take a sample of your blood, and see what the average blood sugar level is over the past 3 months. Now, mine usually ran 7 point something, usually under 8. So, but the average was probably 7.5, and sometimes it was lower. Now, this past week, mine was down to 6.7, which is good, but it's still not down to where they want it, because most doctors now want diabetes to be your A1C, you're reading every 3 months or every 4 months or every 6 months, how often you have to go in to get that done. They want your A1C to be around 6 to 6.5 range or even lower. So the buildup just didn't happen overnight. It took years for it to build up in my heart. And I mentioned what the percentages of the blockages were. 99%, 80%, and one was 75. So I was a prime candidate for a massive heart attack or a stroke. But thankfully God allowed this to be revealed before one of these took place. Now, just this week I had lunch with a couple of former co-workers that I used to work with, a couple of young guys where I retired from. And one of them is, he's actually the fire chief there in a little town, and he's also a medic, paramedic. And so he was surprised to hear that I had to have open heart surgery. And he said, with those blockages, he said, you know, that probably, unless you had found that, probably within a year, you'd had a massive heart attack or a stroke and wouldn't be around. So he said, also, I don't want to scare you, but he said, just this week I had to go on a paramedic run, and the guy was about 83 years of age. He said, when I got there, he said he was already dead. There was nothing we could do to, you know, bring him back at that stage. He said the scary part about it is that he had gone to his doctor, heart doctor, that afternoon, and the doctor told him that everything was okay. It's kind of like my wife one time mentioned that the family doctor we go to, one of the ladies that worked there used to work with her, and then went to work for this doctor, and I think my wife had had a EKG, and she told her, she said, you can't depend on them things. They can read that everything's okay, and you walk out the door and fall down dead. Well, my physician, the one that I actually had an EKG, he wanted to compare it with my EKG last year, about a year ago, when I had a physical and everything was about the same. But this was before I went in for some other tests. So how was this revealed to me? You know, I would have spells going back several years where I get very tired, just feeling very tired and feeling really bad. And I thought this was because of my diabetes, which really it was. And it would pass after a period of time and I would feel okay. However, over the last few years, these spells became more frequent. So I told my wife that there was something wrong with me, but I didn't know what it was. Just knew I felt bad, like a lot of us. You know, we feel bad, but we don't know what's causing it. As I said, everything seemed to check out when I had a physical or I had my diabetes test, so I thought, you know, everything's okay. But about a month before surgery, I began to get some chest pains, and I thought I had just pulled a muscle or something because I'd been doing a lot of physical work, and I thought I'd just maybe pull something there. Also, I'd been having pains up and down my right arm, not my left arm. And so I'd have my wife rub my arm at night. And after the surgery and everything, basically that pain went away. So I guess the pain in my right arm and shoulder also, my right shoulder, which I have a bad shoulder, and I thought, well, it's because of the arthritis and the bone spurs in my shoulder. But a lot of that probably was coming, signs of the clogging of the arteries in my heart. I was scheduled to see my family doctor for my 3 month blood sugar test. And I mentioned about the chest pain. And at first I thought I wouldn't even mention it to him because I thought, well, I've just pulled something. And so I did mention it to him and he said, well, we need to get this checked out. That's when he did the EKG. It seemed to be about the same as the one I'd had probably 9 months or 10 months before that. But he advised me to go ahead and he signed me up to go and set up for me to go to see a heart doc, heart specialist. And so they did a stress test they set up a stress test and also an echocardiogram. And it was during the stress test that they discovered the blockages there. So I remember the doctor coming out and he said, well, you got some blockages after reading the stress test. But first of all, they did an angioplasty after that. That's where they go up in the main artery there in the leg, either right or left leg in the groin area, and they go up through the vein up into the heart and they shoot dye in there and they can see any blockages. Now, the doctor, heart doctor, wanted to do this procedure before, but I had the stress test. He said, I'd like to do this first. And I thought, well, let's go ahead and do the stress test and the other before we do this. So it's when that they went up in there then and shot the dye up in there that he discovered the blockages. And there was two on the backside of the heart, so they couldn't repair it with stents or with any balloon-type device to hold the veins open, which they do because two are on the backside of the heart and they can't get around the backside of the heart to put stents in there. So they had to do open-heart surgery, which means they had to cut open the chest cavity and spread the ribs apart so they can work on the heart. They took veins out of my right leg for the bypass areas that were blocked, and also I didn't know until I went back to my surgeon a couple weeks ago. He did take one also out of the inside of my chest there near where the heart area is. So I was wondering why it's sore in there. A lot of the soreness is gone, but he told me that's what he did as well. He had to take one out of the inside there. So the surgery altogether took about 5 hours. And I'm thankful that God blessed me with a good surgeon with many years of experience, and they came highly recommended. And the nursing staff in ICU, they were all RNs. They took excellent care of me. All of them had worked for this surgeon for 10 or 11 years. So they weren't novices just out of nursing school. They were experienced there in ICU. And I found out another definition for ICU is you have to wear a gown while you're in there. And it ties in the back. Well, it's kind of hard for you to tie in the back. So if you're walking, getting up to go to the bathroom or walk down the hall, usually that's open and they say, I see you. So that's another meaning I found out in there for ICU, not just the intensive care unit, but that's just kind of a little joke on the side. Well, what is diabetes and why is it such a growing problem in this nation and other nations of the world? You know, there's reams of information online that you can look up. I'm just going to give a brief summation of what it is and the types that there are. First of all, there's what they call type 1 diabetes, sometimes called juvenile diabetes or insulin-dependent diabetes, mellitus. Now, the pancreas does not produce enough insulin, therefore many have to take insulin. And it usually occurs in childhood or adolescence. But it can develop at any age. And people with type 1 diabetes must take insulin every day. I know this one young fella who he came down with diabetes at about age 12, and I'll maybe mention more about that, the effects it's had on his life a little later. So type 2 diabetes usually comes on a person later in life, most commonly in their late 40s or early 50s. And I was in my early 50s when I was diagnosed, and the other 5 siblings also were in their 50s or 60s when they were diagnosed. They have since passed on, and thankfully I have not yet had to go on insulin. So the pancreas still produces some insulin, but the cells or receptors become damaged and they can no longer store the sugar to be released when needed, therefore causing the excess sugar to go into the bloodstream. And over a period of time, if it's not controlled, it can cause heart problems. It can cause heart damage, strokes, amputation of limbs, loss of eyesight, and many, many things as a result of diabetes. So some of the personal effects I've witnessed is, I remember years ago when I was in the insurance business, a customer I had, that I went to stop by to visit him, and he was in bed, and he had already had one leg amputated because of diabetes. And the other leg, the toes were black, black as a lump of coal. And he said, come over here and feel my big toe. Well, I was a little bit hesitant, and I didn't want to go feel of it. And it felt real hard, like a lump of coal. And he said, the doctor said that some morning I'll wake up and my toe will be in bed with me. It'll just fall off because there was no circulation there. It was all dead. There was no circulation. Later on, he lived a little while after that, maybe a year, but he died. So some people, so they have amputees. I know of a person who's passed away now that's in the church for many, many years, ever since the late 60s, like myself. And before he passed away, he had to have both of his legs amputated because of diabetes. And the one young fellow I mentioned, when he was about 12 years old, he was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes. That's where you have to take insulin. He's up in his 40s now, and the last I heard, he had to have a couple of toes removed. Plus, they installed a pump inside his stomach that now automatically injects insulin in there to make sure his body has enough insulin. Also, it causes loss of eyesight. I know someone who's losing their eyesight because of diabetes. So these are risk factors for type 2 diabetes and also for juvenile diabetes. So age 40 and over, that a lot of people, if they're a lot of times have a weight problem, and they say weight means more than 20% more than your ideal weight. So whatever your body mass index is, I guess if you're 20% over that, then you're at risk for diabetes. If your family has a history of diabetes, then there's a good chance that you may also come down with diabetes. And it also seems to be prevalent, and they don't know why, but African Americans, a lot of them have diabetes, also the Hispanics and the Native Americans. The diabetes seems to run in those particular groups. Now, some symptoms of diabetes are vague, and they by themselves don't usually lead to a doctor visit. So a lot of times you might have these things and you think, well, you know, I'm not going to see my doctor about it. So some of the things they listed are, first, an increase in thirst. If you know people that they found out they had diabetes because they were just constantly thirsting, you know, wanting water and drinking. So that's maybe a sign. Frequent urination, place especially at night to get up to go to the bathroom. Another factor they say is increase in appetite. You're just hungry all the time. And then also unexplained weight loss. A lot of times I've known people who didn't know they had diabetes and they begin to lose a lot of weight because their blood sugars were really high. In some cases it'd be maybe 400 or 500 and they would be losing a lot of weight. So they go and get it checked out and find that that was a problem, diabetes. Also fatigue, if you feel tired, a lot of times this is another sign. That you have skin infections is another sign, and also if you have wounds that are slow to heal, that's another sign maybe that you are diabetic or becoming diabetic. So that is just a brief explanation of type 1 diabetes, which is juvenile, and type 2 diabetes, which is usually adult. And the onset usually comes later in life, maybe in the 40s or 50s or 60s. But a lot of times, before you get diabetes, and I had this, and that's what they call hypoglycemia. And that is low blood sugar. That means that some of the symptoms of that, and I used to get them, you get weak, you get the sweats, you get nausea, you get shaky. And just the other night, I was sitting there, my wife and I were watching TV, and I said, I need to go check my blood sugar because I think my blood sugar is low. And so I checked it, and sure enough, it was low. I was down to 61. So I had to get something to eat. And so if you eat a lot of sugary foods, and I used to love to eat, I used to say the only thing better than eating is more eating. But I had to change my mind on that several years ago, and I used to travel a lot, so I'd drive through a lot of times at McDonald's or someplace else, and you know what all that food does to you over a period of time. And I love sweets, and I'd stop and get a donut and coffee, and maybe mid-morning or afternoon, and something sweet like that. And a bear claw, you know, you get a bear claw, you read on it now, and I've been reading for years on the labels of some of these foods, but I always check the carbs, and I would check the carbs, but I never checked for sugar. So since I've had this heart operation, I look for the sugar, and it's amazing that sugar is in everything, even in milk. So it's just unbelievable what you pick up. So now I not only look for the carbohydrate contents and the but also the sugar and the calories as well. So if you've ever had experience, and I used to, where I'd maybe eat pancakes or something like that out, and then up about maybe before noon, I'd start getting weak and shaky, and I'd have to eat some protein. Well, that's hypoglycemia. That is low blood sugar. And what happens is that when you eat something real sugary like that, that you got all this insulin that is being pumped into the body through the pancreas. Thank you. So the pancreas, and it pumps too much in there, so that causes your blood sugar to drop. And that is why then you get weak, you get the sweats, you get shaky. So a very low blood sugar level can cause you to go into a coma, just as a high blood sugar level can cause you to go into a coma. So it's something that you have to, if you have some of these symptoms, then you probably should get it checked out. So early detection, what is some of the things we need to do in order to help to see if we do have diabetes or if we have hypoglycemia? Well, first of all, early detection, the family history of diabetes should be a red flag. So if it runs in the family like it did in mine, then it's something that you need to be aware of. Now, there's a test, and I'm assuming they still have this test. It's called a glucose tolerance test. And I started taking this test when I was in my probably late 30s. So this is a test where you go in and they give you a drink, something like a real strong Coca-Cola, something really syrupy with a lot of sugar in it. And then they test to see how your body reacts to that. So they'll take like a urine sample and take a blood sample, I think every half an hour for the first hour, and then after that it's about every hour. So then they read and see what your blood sugar level is over a period of about 3 to 4 hours. That's how long the test takes, to see if your pancreas is pumping enough insulin in there to be able to ward this off. So I had these tests done for many years. Not every year, but every few years I go and have this done. And as I said, when I was in my early 50s, and I was diagnosed with diabetes. In the first year or two, few years, I tried to manage it by diet and exercise. And then it went on into where I had to take oral medicine, which I'm still on today. Now, there are things that you can do to offset or delay diabetes. Number one is diet. And it's most of us, you know, we have a working knowledge of diet, what we should be eating and not should be eating. But a lot of fruits and vegetables, they say, and I've been doing more of that. I wasn't on a bad diet before, but I'm just watching more closely now. But as I told my wife last night, you know, rabbit food. I had basically a lot of rabbit food for supper and some meat, And usually portions they look at, which they tell you, if you look at the palm of your hand, you know, that's like a portion. Or you look at your fist, and that's a portion. And so these are some examples, you know, of how you should eat, and eat a lot of vegetables, fresh vegetables and fruits and things along that line. And they recommend, you know, fish and all like salmon or sardines and things like that. But we know there's a problem too. I know in our great state here that we live in, and the book they give you when you get your license, fishing license, it says if you eat meat more than one time a week out of the Ohio River or out of Lake Erie or some of the other streams, to not eat it more than once a week because of all the things that's going in there and a lot of the spillage that comes off from the farms, all the chemicals, and a lot of times they use the rivers and streams and things like that as a sewer. So it says don't eat it more than a week. So it's hard to get fish. I find a lot of it's coming now from especially look at salmon. A lot of it's farm raised. When you go out to a restaurant and they say, I say, is this come from Alaska or up in Washington or someplace, or is it farm raised? And a lot of them say, well, I don't know. So they go back and ask, and for the most part it's farm raised. Now I guess if it comes from Alaska, we'll say that on, or some of the other waters there in the north, then it'll usually list that on the menu. So another thing is get your weight under control. That's another good thing. They say if you even lose 10 pounds, you know, you're risking, you're also decreasing your risk for diabetes and also heart disease and some other things. Then stress. Now that's something that's kind of hard to control, but we just have to take time to have a place or time where we can relax and try to get rid of that, do that as much as possible, because stress is a big factor too, they say. So diabetes is a bad disease, and I didn't realize how bad it was. I'd seen the effects on some other people, but I didn't realize it until I had to go through my heart surgery. And it's also, the thing about it, it's a slow killer. It did not take a week, but over several years that this buildup was in my heart. So what have I learned from having to have heart surgery? Well, something happened before this that I realized I need to take better care of myself and better care of my health. Now, I was trying to take care of my health, and I lost weight, and I was trying to eat better, and actually my A1C readings were getting better. But a few months before this happened, I was just thinking one day, and I was repenting, and because I realized that there were some things I could have done, maybe done better to have watched my health. So I was repenting to God and asking for help I needed to put more effort into managing my diabetes and my health. And some scriptures came to mind, and I'd like to share those with you. The first one is Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 1. Romans 12 and verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which you are your reasonable service or rational service. So we have a responsibility, again, to present as we come before God to take care of our health and take care of our bodies, and present our body as a living sacrifice. Also in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16 and 17, says, know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So if God's Spirit is dwelling in us, then it becomes a temple. Just like it was where it was the temple of Solomon's temple, where it's the tabernacle in the wilderness, God's temple, God's Spirit is dwelling in us now. We become a temple, it says. And if any man defile this temple or if he destroys it, God shall destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are, Paul is telling us. Then in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, Paul again says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So, as I was thinking about these scriptures, they came to my mind. I've been thinking about them, and I was determined to put forth more effort to take better care of myself, and that may be one reason why God revealed this thing to me that could be spared a few more years. My doctor just told me this week, he said, "Well, you're probably good for another 30 years. Well, I don't think so. I'd be 100 years old, so I don't think I'm going to make it to 100. So I'm thankful that God did reveal this, and as I said, these scriptures came into mind. Well, I'm happy to tell you that I am currently going to cardiac rehab 3 times a week, which is a 12-week rehabilitation. I've gone 2 weeks already, 3 days a week, and they have exercise equipment that they put you on, and you start out slow. They don't start you out. They know you've just come through these surgeries, and everybody in there has had heart problems or heart surgeries. They also put a monitor on you so they can monitor your heart while you're doing these exercises. So they constantly watch your net so they know if your heart rate goes too high or gets low or whatever, or if you start having pains, they can come over and stop you. Also, they say if you're having any difficulty or any problems, just stop. So thereafter, I must continue to exercise, improve my diet, and take better care of my body, which God has given me where His Spirit dwells, because realizing through the scriptures I just read that we are the temple of God if His Spirit dwells in us, and we have a responsibility to take care of our health. Now, I've often wondered, as a spirit body, will we have to take, what kind of care will we have to take care of that? I don't know. That's just something that I was thinking about, not just recently, but years ago. But that's a Mars Hill subject, so that has to be discussed. And we'll find out, just be in God's kingdom, and we'll have the answer to that. But we know it's not going to be like this physical flesh that we have now, and that's great. So hopefully my story will be a help to those of you who are diabetic already, and you're struggling with this disease, and it is a struggle. Also, hopefully it will prompt those who may suspect or have symptoms that I mentioned to take the necessary steps to get the help and professional advice to ward off this deadly sin. So hopefully this has been a help to everyone. Again, I'd like to thank all of those that we receive cards from and prayer, and we pray for you, and certainly I'm thankful that you prayed for us. So that is my story. This is Marlon Fannin. I just wanted to correct something in my closing comment. I meant to say that diabetes is a deadly disease, not a deadly sin. I just misspoke that, and it was brought to my attention. So just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.